Welcome to Career Tools. 1 minute tell me about yourself is wrong. Part one, here we go. This cast answers these questions. How do I prepare for the tell me about yourself question in an interview? What do I want to convey during tell me about yourself? Why do I get asked tell me about yourself? And what's the right way to answer? Folks, our M conference is coming up in October, in Dallas, Texas, the 9th and 10th. We only have a few slots left, but it's a special conference because we're going to be focusing on the transition from managerial life to executive life. We have 10 outside speakers, all from the Manager Tools community, people we've placed, people who have been our clients, people who have been clients and friends of ours for years, and want to share with you why, to some degree, as the book title goes, what got you here won't get you there. We encourage you to take a look on our website, manager-tools.com. Hope to see you there. Okay, Wendy, tell me about yourself. Probably one of the most important questions you're ever going to get in an interview. You've got to be fully prepared for it. It's the first big question, as we'll talk more about. Of course, the question is about you, so it's not a trick question. You should be able to do it okay. You know you're going to be asked it. If you didn't know until just now, folks, if you're going for a professional interview in the modern world, there's a 90% chance you're going to get asked, tell me about yourself. And so in this podcast, we're going to tell you more about the preparation and why the standard internet guidance, which your answer should only be 1 minute long, where it came from and why it's completely dead wrong and the internet is steering you wrong because on the internet, they don't even know you're not a dog. Okay, so Wendy, take us through our paces.
So we're going to talk about preparing an answer to this question and having one prepared, which is important. We're having example one, which is a too short, and then we're going to talk about why too short exists. Example two is the just right, the Goldilocks answer, and then we're going to talk about not going too long.
Okay, so first thing is, it would seem pretty obvious, we're sort of the kings of preparation around here. Too many managers, too many professionals just go through life and respond to what happens, and there's certainly justification that with how busy we all are, but interviewing is not a place where you can just walk in and wing it, mainly because you won't have thought through your background and have cogent stories. So our guidance is to prepare an answer to this question. Now, before you start, please tell me you're not going to say, I need to have a speech and I need to rehearse it, because I don't like being rehearsed.
I wouldn't call it a speech. I'd call it an answer. And yes, you do have to have rehearsed it. One of the big problems people find when they write an answer down and then they have to say those words is that some words don't come out of your mouth the way that they go in your head. There are words that are difficult to pronounce. There are words where you write a sentence and it doesn't flow properly, or you think of a sentence in your own head and it doesn't flow properly when you try and say the words out loud. And so preparing an answer, having an answer that you have rehearsed, that you've heard outside of your own head, where you've taken out the words that are difficult for you and replaced them with something else. Or in my case, taken out the words that people don't understand and replaced them with one they do. If you don't do any of that, you're not prepared. Like you don't reach the definition of prepared. And if you're not prepared, you don't give the best answer that you could. It's easy.
Yeah, I would argue something else. I would argue that the idea of rehearsal calls up the stage, the theater, and the fear that you're going to do it exactly the same thing each time. It's going to come across as rote. I'm not an actor. I don't want to be a cardboard cutout of myself. And of course, what we know, and you know, you and I have interviewed tens of thousands of people and our various careers, and there's no way that anyone listening to this will come across as rehearsed. You're going to be in an interview. You're going to be prepared. Maybe you think you're over-prepared, but then 30% of your preparation goes right out the window because you're nervous, because the question is asked slightly differently, because you're second-guessing your answer, and so on. And so actually what rehearsal does is teach you the structure of your answer, the general themes of what you want to say, not exactly every word and the cadence of every word. And so there is no way that you are ever going to sound rehearsed. But here's what's interesting. The only way you can sound rehearsed is if you're not prepared and you come out with a pat answer. And the idea, I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but the idea that you could give a 1 minute long answer that's descriptive of your life and consider that to be a good answer is ludicrous. So what ends up happening is you kind of memorize what you want to say in that 1 minute, and now that answer sounds rehearsed. You actually need a little bit more substance to your answer, where your words are going to be different, where you're going to say different things in different order, but it doesn't matter, in order for you to not sound rehearsed. The shorter your answer, the more it sounds like you already prepared it. Okay, so I took us off track there. That's not part of our show notes. And those of you who are licensees and download the show notes will see that. So I've been unfair to Wendy here. So let's talk more about preparing an answer to the question.
Well, as you said, it's the first big question. And it's not necessarily the most important question, but it is important in the sense that if you fluff it, one, you've given a bad impression. But if you fluff it, then your own self-confidence in your own answers or your confidence in your ability to be persuasive in the interview goes down. So in that sense, it really is important because you don't want the first thing you do to be tripping over your own feet. And it is the signal that the interview has moved from the introductory phase to the question phase. So the introductory phase is usually some small talk. Maybe the manager will explain something about the job and the team and the company. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just go straight into questions. But the moment you get, tell me about yourself, you know, we're in the question and answer phase. And so I'm going to be asked questions and I need to call up the answers. And that isn't the beginning of the evaluation. The evaluation. Oh, gosh,
no. The evaluation starts.
The moment you walk in.
The moment you knock on the door, hypothetically.
Exactly. Or you arrive in the parking lot and you see the security guard because
you never know.
Smart hiring managers go and ask the security guard how they were treated by their interviewees. So it's not you're being evaluated. You were being evaluated. You have been. But it is the signal that we've moved to the phase that most people think about when they think about interviewing, which is the question answer piece. And it's also the question that's most common to all interviews. It doesn't matter whether you are applying to be a pizza chef or a CEO, you'll probably get this question and everything in between. So because it's a really good question for hiring managers, because one, it puts candidates at their ease. It's like, oh, I've got a question I can answer. All right, you know, it's a question I can easily answer because it's about me and I know about me. It's also a good way for hiring managers to begin to understand your communication skills, the way you structure information, the way you think, and what your background is, what you think is important about your background. So it's kind of accomplishing two things at the same time. And it could be a fully prepared interviewer who has that question written down. They're taking notes. They have the next question written down. They're going to take notes. You know, someone who's read your resume, highlighted it, really prepared. Or it could be someone who hasn't read your resume or read it walking into the room. And it could be your first job, your last job, your most senior job, your least senior job, the job when you change industries or states or anything. It's the question that almost certainly will be asked, whatever the circumstances.
Yeah, so you got to be ready. If it's going to be asked 90% of the time and it's the first big question, the worst thing in the world is to do it poorly, to do it in a way that says to the manager, to the hiring manager, to the interviewer, this person isn't ready, so I'm going to have to work harder. And now there are some people who tell me, you know what, I'm just a casual kind of person, and either I'm going to click with the interviewer or not. I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, gosh, that's just an excuse to not prepare. You want your life to be easy. The problem is don't wish for an easy life. Wish for the strength to get through it. And certainly if you're going to be a, a truly effective professional, life is not always going to be easy. Plus, suppose you had 3 job interviews. Obviously, by definition, if you have 3 interviews that you go to, you're interested in those 3 jobs. Because as we've said before in many of the casts, if you're not interested, you shouldn't be going to the interview. Don't waste your time. Don't waste their time. There's a lot of institutional investment in doing an interview, and you shouldn't be misleading people. If a company sits down to interview you, they have an opening and they believe you might be right for it. That's an assumption you have. By the same token, the company has an assumption that you are interested in the job, and if offered, and the offer is reasonable, and you've done okay, and they've thought well of you, that there's a chance you'll say yes. If that's not possible, it's unprofessional to go. So therefore, if you have 3 interviews, you're essentially saying, I could be interested in going to these 3 different opportunities. If you do, why wouldn't you prepare? Why would you say, well, I don't want to work that hard, and then say, well, I might get 1 opportunity with people I click with? Why not have 3? Why not say, I'd like to compare all 3, apples to apples? Now, you can't do that in advance. There's a qualitative, an order of magnitude difference between thinking about 3 companies and deciding A is better than B, and so therefore only going to A interview. Because again, you're just thinking generally about the organization, not about the opportunity. An opportunity or an offer is when control passes to you. So it's not enough to just think about them in advance. You have to go through the entire process and end up with 3 offers so that you can make the best possible decision. Plus, as people tell us all the time, during your interview process, you're going to learn about the companies. And maybe the company you like best, maybe Company Alpha, ends up not being as interesting to you as Company Bravo. So look, it's going to be asked. If you want to be considered a professional, you better be prepared. And if you're not prepared, you're going to be assumed to be not professional, and you reduce your chances. If you're going to go into a meeting in your organization, hopefully everyone listening knows you're supposed to know what the agenda is roughly. You're supposed to know what the topic is. You're supposed to know what your point of view is. You're supposed to know what your data, what your background, what your ideas are, what your concerns are, what your opportunities are. And generally speaking, you ought to know how other people coming to the meeting are feeling about thinking about those things as well. Being able to think through what might happen in a meeting and to prepare for it is a fundamental professional skill.
And if you don't have an answer to tell me about yourself, you just proved you don't have that skill.
You'll walk into meetings working for me not prepared. We've had interviews for people come to work for ManagerTools, and the first thing they say is, look, I'm really sorry, I haven't had time to get prepared. I said, well, then I don't want to interview you. I mean, why should I suffer? Do you really think you're that good? You're competing with other people that we thought were as good as you who have prepared. You're going to look bad. If I interview you now, there's no way you're going to have an opportunity. Why would I bother doing that? You're just not, no offense, but you're not a delicate little flower that is unique in all of God's creation. I mean, technically your soul is, but in terms of work, you're really not. And the chances that everything's going to click and you're going to be the one without any preparation, 0, or marginally 0, as we like to say.
I don't know if you've heard, but ManagerTools will be visiting Detroit soon. September 24th and 25th, we'll be holding our first ever ManagerTools conferences in the Motor City. If you're interested in joining us for our Effective Manager or Effective Communicator conferences, this is the perfect time to register. Visit us today at manager-tools.com/training to guarantee yourself a seat.
So given the importance of preparing, we should tell people what to do, right?
Yeah. So, okay, example number 1, too short. This is my favorite one because the scourge on the internet regarding interview preparation, I mean, and there's a lot of it. There's a lot of really bad stuff on the internet. There are people putting out ideas and recommending things to companies and to candidates that they've never tested. They're saying that, well, there's a famous person on LinkedIn who says that companies should do away with the interview entirely and have the candidate ask questions. And they have all these seemingly reasonable reasons for why this is true. I mean, that's like a doctor saying, I'm not going to use a scalpel, I'm going to use leeches. It's bizarro.
Well, they do use leeches, but not for cutting people, right? Like, it's the wrong tool in the wrong place.
Yeah. So the most important concept and the reason for this entire podcast is a 1 minute, even a 2 minute, tell me about yourself answer is too short. It doesn't give the hiring manager enough to ask you questions about, and it doesn't give you enough time to show your skills, ability, experience, and preparation.
And what a lot of places on the internet say is you need an elevator pitch. So like a 1 minute summary of your entire career, which the number of people who say, I can't fit my resume on one page, I don't understand how you can then say in the same sentence or the same breath, I can fit my entire career into 1 minute of talking.
Well, but the other one, I can't fit my whole life, my resume onto one page. Well, by that definition, you shouldn't be able to fit your whole life on 50 pages. It's simply a question of a level of detail. I actually think that that whole two-page, three-page resume thing is I'm not willing to make critical decisions because I'm afraid I'm going to be wrong. There are entire groups of people who one of their underlying principles is work is I don't want to be wrong. Now, there, if you're listening and you don't understand that, I'll try to explain it. I'm not saying that everyone in the world avoids being wrong at all costs. Ask the people who know me. I don't mind being wrong at all, but I'm going to be effective. I don't care that I have the right answer. If I'm trying to achieve something, even if I have the wrong answer, if I achieve it, I'm okay. My interest is in being effective, which is getting the right things done, not in being right. So a person who wants to be right all the time and then therefore fears being wrong will say, I can't act until I've considered every possibility and looked at all the angles, all the options, and made some determination in some quasi-mathematical way that will allow me to rationalize this is the right answer. And executives and managers don't get to choose the right answer unless we're talking about ethics and justice and human kindness. What we're supposed to choose is the best answer. And right has a different criteria around it than best. So what happens is people say, oh, I can't shorten my resume to three pages because I don't know what would best be, and I don't want to be wrong. So therefore I won't make a decision to get rid of anything. Same thing in reverse for tell me about yourself. Well, you know, there's no right answer. So therefore it's not a critical skill. Or I went to 45 websites and like 42 of them all said elevator pitch or 1 minute answer or something like that. And that's what they come up with. Guys, I'm just telling you, among people who know what they're doing, it's wrong. Among people who don't know what they're doing, while they'll be accepting of a 1 minute answer, a 3 to 5 minute answer will absolutely blow them away.
It's almost as if they are afraid of including the wrong things. It's that being right thing, but backwards, as you said. It's if I give a longer answer, then I might include something that's wrong that I shouldn't have.
Sure. Yeah. So, Wendy, give me an example of an elevator pitch.
So here's one I found. After college, I started my career as a project planner, and I did that for about 2 years. I've been in my current position as a project manager for about 5 years, and I manage about 25 projects simultaneously with budgets between $500,000 and $1 million. While I've really enjoyed being a PM, I know I'm ready for the next step and would love the opportunity to work as a program manager.
Well, that's horrible. I mean, that is arguably the worst. I mean, this is a person who's given me their resume. So I know I've been accused of being dark Mark before, but if you ever interview with me and gave me that answer, we'd be done. I would look at you and say, hey, look, that's great. And I can just feel it. I'm sorry, you're not going to be a fit for us. The idea that you're going to put a few different English language words around the first thing I'm going to glean off of your resume, that after college, you started your career as a project planner and that took 2 years, You've been in your current position as a project manager, and I know it's current because it says it to present, and it says project planner for about 5 years. By definition, you're not dumb enough to leave off that you've managed 25 projects simultaneously with budgets between 500K and a million. I'm sorry. It's embarrassing. It is almost a slap in the face to the recruiter. You're saying, I know you didn't read my resume.
Yeah. It's like give me a recap. Let me give you a recap. Let me give you a summary.
All right. So part of the reason I'm being so strident, folks, is I know if you go out on the internet, you'll find everything saying, oh, it's just, you just need a 1 minute long answer. So I'm going to explain the history of why the internet is wrong. Okay. Tell me about yourself wasn't always a popular question. In fact, the history of interviewing is much different than you might think. Ask somebody who's been a listener for a long time about why you have references available upon request on your resume, which, by the way, you should not. That is a remnant of the time of gender, ethnic, socioeconomic, and religious bigotry and discrimination in the world, believe it or not. And it's a waste of one line, which you can put an accomplishment on, by the way. So, and interviewing is a relatively new event in the world. It's only been existent for about 80 years, since the 1940s, when the precursor to the CIA, what is known as the OSS, created it in order to staff up rapidly. And essentially what happened was, in the mid-80s, the Society of Human Resource Managers started recommending Tell Me About Yourself, okay? And hiring managers started asking it. And then business schools started teaching how to answer it, okay? Now, I'm not saying it wasn't asked before. I'm talking about the industry that exists around the question. Certainly, this question was asked in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, and so on. But there wasn't really any thinking, really any analysis, not really any recommendations about it. It was almost chit-chatty, okay? The best business schools, the best undergraduate, the best career placement offices, the best MBA schools taught a 3 to 5 minute answer, which was structured. You're supposed to explain your goals and accomplishments, the decisions you've made and why you've made them. Now, a lot of schools didn't teach an answer. The people who can't get real jobs outside of organizations in many cases go to career placement offices. And so many career placement offices aren't all that good. And in fact, the other reason why many students, if you were a student at college, the experience you have with your college placement office not be that good is you're missing the point. You're not the customer. The clients are. The companies that are coming in to interview, that's the important thing in interviewing, because without them, there are no interviews. So if you felt you got shuffled around, you did, because they're focused on the client, the company, not you. So they taught the 3 to 5 minute answer, okay? Some schools did, some schools didn't, and there were the vast majority of schools didn't teach. It was only the ones that were good at it, okay? And of course, what happens is, when a manager who travels a lot more than students goes to a hotel in another location and then meets somebody and chats somebody up and they say, oh, I'm here for an interview. And they say, oh, really? You know, so am I. And they say, how do you interview? And the guy says, well, I always start with telling me about yourself. And what ends up happening is ideas are more, more able to travel in the business world than they are in the academic world. That's because business people travel more than people in the academic world. Okay. That was true 50 years ago too. So more and more managers started to ask it. Okay. And some schools weren't teaching it. So a lot of people just made up an answer. Okay. And since the managers didn't get asked this in many cases when this was first starting, they didn't know what the right answer was. So they used their evidence from their own interviews to decide. Okay. So hiring managers would ask, tell me about yourself. And the student, if the student was well prepared, the hiring manager would have plenty of opportunities to probe their answer, primarily around decisions that become obvious based on a brief description of your quasi-professional and then professional life. Okay, why that school? And okay, you say you chose mechanical engineering. Why? Okay, you chose that sorority. Why? And that's normal. It's really hard to give a 3-minute answer, even a 5-minute answer, and describe every significant decision you made in the process of your career. But if you think about it, companies want to know why you've done what you've done, to evaluate whether or not you have a reasonable decision-making engine inside that head of yours. So gradually, the 3 to 5 minute answer of tell me about yourself became seen as, oh, they're just asking you to describe your life generally so they can do what they really want to do, which is probe you for reasons why you did what you did, to dive into your character. So candidates who had never been taught, didn't know how to answer tell me about yourself, noticed and talked among themselves that no matter what they said, hiring managers would ask a lot of questions and probe. If they gave a 3 to 5 minute answer, they were asked questions. If they gave a 1 minute answer, they were asked questions. It seemed logical then that, okay, if they're going to ask me a lot of questions, I'll just prepare a shorter answer.
Right. They're going to ask questions anyway, right? Why prepare something long?
And they were wrong. What they didn't recognize, you know, the common wisdom when the internet started making it easy for stupid ideas to get transmitted was that this was just a question to really get a chance to ask the important questions, the decision questions, the why questions, the background questions, and so on. Unfortunately, what they didn't realize is that a 1 minute answer causes the interviewer to ask a lot more questions about a lot less important things because they don't know what you're saying or why you're saying it. You're not giving them enough information to be able to target the things they really want to know. So a short answer actually took longer to get the same information because the manager had to ask more questions in order to frame the question, to get a chance to frame the question he or she really wants to ask. In many cases, a short answer created a frustration on the part of the manager. But on the eyes of the candidate who are nervous and haven't been taught in detail and so on, or if they've been taught, have been taught poorly, again, 3 to 5 minute answer or 1 minute answer, the result is the same. They're going to ask me a lot of questions. But if you give a short answer, you're basically expecting the recruiter to say, wait, stop. Let's go back to page one and I'll ask you every sentence of what should be a 3 to 5 minute answer.
If we go back to the example we had where she said, I started my career as a project planner. If you had a long answer, you would be, I finished college and I knew I was interested in project management. So I set myself the goal of getting a project planner job so that I could learn all of the things that went into planning a project. And I felt that would be a good foundation in later becoming a project manager, right? So, and then the hiring manager could ask, okay, well, why project planning and not some other discipline? Why did you think that would give you the foundation rather than something else? Why did you not go on a course, for example? Whereas if you've just given that short answer, they've got to say, what was your goal when you decided to be a project planner? And then the person gives that goal thing that I just said, and then the hiring manager is on to, okay, so why a project planner and not something else, right? That's why it's so frustrating, because you've got to ask the question that leads you to the question you actually want to know, rather than the candidate giving you enough so you can go straight to the question you want to know.
Yeah. Now, you might think that the more detail that comes out in a 3 to 5 minute answer isn't relevant, but it is. Because you're not going to go there as a piece of paper in a series of decisions, but you're going to go to work as a whole person. You're not just a task engine, a task accomplishment engine. There are some of us who wish more people were more of a task accomplishment engine. But we're all complex humans. And knowing things like why you made the choices you did helps the hiring manager see you in the role. Would you make the right decision? I know the kind of decisions this person in this role will be making. Does it make sense that your logic, your approach to things and so on will make sense? If you interview somebody and you're interviewing them with a project manager of a $1 million project, and two or three times in their career, they said, well, it's where my friends were going, or it seemed like a good idea at the time, or, you know, I chose biology because it just seemed like it'd be the most fun. No, I really didn't think about my career at all. You know, you're not suggesting to a manager who's a little bit more logical, linear, rational, analytical, that you've got the kind of mindset that he or she wants. Now, you might say, but Mark, I was young. Okay, yeah, that happens. You're young and then you get older. But why wouldn't I interview somebody who's the same age as you, who then when I ask them why that degree? Well, actually, there were three choices. I had mechanical engineering, aeronautical engineering, and chemical engineering. And I discovered in talking to three different people, a couple of different people in each of those fields, that chemical engineers and aeronautical engineers had much more limited opportunities upon graduation. I didn't think that even though all three of them seemed like a great choice, I would enjoy them, I would be excited about it, I'd learn cool stuff that I could, frankly, I think it's cool what aeronautical and chemical and mechanical engineers do, but I didn't want to say, let's eliminate 50% of the opportunities for a young professional just because I chose one that seemed 1 or 2 or 3% more fun. So my analysis suggested I had to choose mechanical engineering. It was the one that was roughly the same level of enjoyment, the same level of excitement, the same level of depth of interest, but it was 3 to 4 times more likely to lead me on to a successful career. Now, the person who answered that way is young too. So if you tell me, well, I was young, I would say, yeah, and so is this guy. But he gave me an answer that tells me when I put him in a project manager job, he's going to evaluate options, consider the ramifications, consider the angles and so on, and make a reasonable and logical decision. And oh, by the way, because he answers that way, he's much more likely to analyze his failures or her failures in the same way and come up with rationales for how they could do it better next time. But the person who says, well, you know, it just seemed like this one would be the most fun, that's not a person who's experienced significantly enough for my level of satisfaction in the art and or science of decision making.
And you're allowed to make that mistake, right? You're allowed to say,
Hey, do you know what?
I chose my university because it's well known for being a party university and I wanted to party the moment I got away from home. And I discovered later that my employment prospects weren't as good because that university is known as a party university and not for producing academic rigor or educational rigor. And since then, I've made different choices, right? You're allowed to make a mistake. You're allowed to choose badly. You're allowed to make a choice that doesn't turn out well. But you have to be able to explain that and what you learned from it and what you're going to do differently. In your first example, you had like 3 or 4 decisions that were all based on, you know, I felt like it, my friends were there, it was fun. Okay, so that's like 3 or 4 times you've made a bad decision and you don't seem to be learning from your own mistakes. That's different to making 1 mistake and learning from it, or 2 mistakes and learning from them.
So anyway, I got to go back and finish the rest of the story. So the internet comes along and provides the ability for stupid ideas to be transmitted. I mean, by the way, the internet's a great place to transmit smart ideas too, a la this podcast. But like we say on the internet, they don't know that you're a dog. And folks, if you don't know what I'm referring to there, it's a very famous New Yorker cartoon, which shows a dog sitting at a computer on the dawn, in the days of the dawn of the internet, saying, on the internet, they don't know you're a dog. Which is, I mean, I think it's one of the most reprinted New Yorker cartoons in history. So the internet comes along, and there are people who think that they want a career as a career counselor that have never been trained in psychology, never been in human resources, although many of them have. And just start sharing ideas. And the quality of the idea is based on the last article they read in Society for Human Resource Management or in some professional journal written by some VP. We've recently talked about on other shows we've done about how the guidance we're reading, even in the Wall Street Journal and other business publications, that when they're interviewing some CEO, Wendy, didn't we do a podcast about this recently about bad career guidance? Advice. Because these entrepreneurs who are worth a billion say this idea for their careers, like, that's only true if you lucked out enough to be a billionaire. And I'm not saying it's luck by any means. So the amount of bad guidance is incredible. And by the way, I would argue that the 1 minute tell me about yourself answer simply reached what amounted to something near a critical mass. And people started looking. People who had different ideas about tell me about yourself went on the internet, looked around for it, and said, gosh, every place, 23 out of 25 says 1 minute answer. I guess I can save myself the trouble of thinking through what's the right answer for it, and I'll just say what everybody else says. And that way, aha, I won't be wrong.
Yeah, and all the candidates went, okay, I'm going to look for some advice. 1 minute or 5 minutes? Yeah, I'm going to do for the 1 minute. I mean, like, somebody on the internet said it was fine and it's way less than 5 minutes of preparation.
Again, you're going to go into that interview. You're going to do what everybody else does and they're going to grill you. They're going to drill and interject, interrupt and ask you questions. And you're going to think you got it right. And you don't have any idea how wrong you are, because right after you, somebody goes in and gives a more cogent, more in-depth, but still short feeling answer of 3 to 5 minutes long. Their interjections, probes, interruptions from the interviewer only take an additional 5 minutes. Yours take 20. And now they have 10 more minutes in the interview freed up to answer more questions about their qualitative and quantitative skills and their ability and their fit. And by the way, the recruiter, the interviewer, is not ticked off that they have to do it again. Here's another kid who doesn't know how to answer, tell me about yourself, just wants to wing it, gives me a 1 minute answer. Okay, I'll go through the hard work of digging through their background. And what do you know? The next guy after you is better prepared than you, doesn't get a frustrated interviewer, gets a couple of more close calls to go his way because the interviewer is not frustrated. So the internet is wrong. Tell me about yourself is a 3 to 5 minute answer. You will still get probed, but it'll be a much shorter and a higher qualitative probing experience, and you'll end up doing better. And don't believe your friends who say, ah, it's the same. That's it for this week. We'll see you for the second half next week.